1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. And now, Lord, as I stand before the congregation, I ask that you just help me to stand and let me proclaim your truth, Lord, this morning. Let me preach with boldness and authority those things that you've laid upon my heart. Let me speak, Lord, those things. And, Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to hearts this morning. Have his way amongst us. Again, Lord, our prayer is that if there's one amongst us that doesn't know you in a free pardon of sin, that this would be the day they repent and turn from their sins and receive Jesus into their hearts before it's everlasting too late. Ask that everything that's said and done here honors and glorifies you. And Lord, you've heard the request spoken. We pray your blessed will be done. For in Christ's name we pray, amen. Be seated, please. This morning I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject of the significance of the gospel. How many here believe the gospel is important? In fact, the gospel is the thing, right? And of chapter 1, he's greeting the church and he's talking about their standing with the Lord. Now that they know the Savior, they are the elect, and for them, their example. Practice and order. And then we get, as Paul is addressing this letter to the Thessalonians, verse 5, speaking of the gospel. Paul, when it came to the gospel, he sure did love it. And beloved, I want to say that there's nothing that a preacher would rather do than share the gospel. You say, well, what's the gospel, Pastor? Well, it's the glad tidings, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. And Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He also said that those that it's the power of God unto salvation. And then one of the greatest statements I think he ever made was this concerning the gospel: "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And beloved, we have a responsibility, not just as believers, because we're all as believers, the church, we're supposed to share the gospel. But as preachers, we have to preach his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We can't be afraid of the bloody gospel, as it's called today. A lot of folks don't want to hear it, but the minister just sang the old rugged cross, and if it wasn't for the cross, there wouldn't be no gospel, and we would be lost. And I glory in that cross. It's that cross I'm standing before you this morning. Because of the cross, you're here this morning. Let's pick it up. For we go any further. He said, for our gospel. No, Paul's not trying. It's his gospel. Paul's not trying to say, oh, it's me and Barnabas' gospel. No, he said, for our gospel. What he's saying is, the gospel that I received that changed, the gospel that I'm proclaiming to you. You got to remember, the Thessalonians at that time, they were pagan people. They had all kinds of pagan gods that they would bow and they would worship to. But when the true gospel got preached to them, the Lord's gospel, it made a change. And let me just say, anytime the gospel is preached and shared by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will change a heart. Amen? It will change a person. So he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now understand, I hold it up before you. This word is not just any book. This is the holy word. I'm here to tell you, it is by the preaching of the cross, it is by the word of God through the Holy Spirit that it brings people to salvation. Not just speaking. Listen, what was it Paul said? He didn't come with excellency of speech. He was an educated man, and I guarantee you, I would like to have heard him. I may get to hear him in eternity for 1,000 years. And I imagine he was a great orator. But I'm here to tell you, he said, no. The word that I'm bringing, no. It comes from above. It's not something that I can just share with you in my own way, in my own oratory. It's powerful. And by the way, notice what it says. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Why? Because it came from God. And let me just say, that word power comes from that Greek word, brother, we've talking about that. Dunamis, which means dynamite. And beloved, I'm here to tell you, when it comes to the Word of God, it is dynamite. Because it can blow some holes in an old sinner's heart. It'll blow some holes in, like an old sinner. It'll punch holes in you. It'll reveal you're not as good as you think. But I'm moral. I mean, at least I don't beat my wife, and I don't steal, and I don't rob, I don't kill nobody. Surely God will hold that in account. The only thing that's going to be accounted when you stand before God is what you did with Jesus Christ. Did you receive Him or did you reject Him? Now, the Word of God is powerful. The Bible tells us it's like a two-edged sword piercing asunder. Beloved, it cuts. If you've ever been in church and you've heard the Word of God proclaimed, the gospel, I want to tell you, if you're lost, it cuts deep. It makes you think, doesn't it? But that's why we have the Word of God, so that we will turn to the living God. Now notice what he says. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and I'm thankful for the power. Those of us that have been saved, guess what? We know all about that power, don't we? We've experienced that power. And that power takes that old sinful, dead heart and makes it brand new in Christ. I'm thankful for the power. But notice what he said. And in the Holy Ghost. You see, I can stand here before you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I can share the Word with you. I can read it and I can preach it to you. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not moving in me to you, then I'm not going to benefit anything, and neither are you. You're just hearing words. But when the Holy Ghost comes with the Word of God, there is power. And things begin to happen. Amen. But you must have the Holy Spirit. You see, it takes the Word and His power and the Holy Ghost in order for the Word of God to point men, convince men, save men. Amen? Takes them all. But there must be the Holy Ghost. And I know us Baptists are scared to death when we say Holy Ghost. That's what the Word says. That's King James. Amen? And I know there's some versions that don't say Holy Ghost. There's some versions that don't even say Holy Spirit. They just say Spirit or He. We're in trouble. But he says this, and in much assurance. You see, the Thessalonians didn't have to worry if they were getting us through the Holy Spirit and the Word being proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. They had the assurance that when they gave their hearts to Christ, they were saved. And they had the assurance that the Word is true. You ever talk to someone about the Lord, maybe even had the privilege of leading them to Christ, and they prayed the sinner's prayer, and then after you said amen, well, what happened? I don't know. Well, are you saved? I hope. No, let's get back down on our knees. Because when God saves you, you're assured. You don't have to be. Amen? Too many people don't have the assurance we have. And it's because they haven't trusted this book. Understand, this book is necessary for salvation. I can remember this in my mind, and I can just share without opening it up. I can just share the Word, and you know what? It doesn't have the same power. I might know it, but it's not the same. It's when you open that book and read it that it moves. That's why you want them to be assured. But the gospel that Paul was preaching had power. And it was with the Holy Ghost, and it was given with assurance that they, if they would come to Christ, would be changed forever if they turned to Jesus Christ through the gospel. Notice what he says. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul was also a persecutor of the church. And listen to me. Sometimes I think the Lord has a sense of humor. Because he was who God called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now listen, get this. If God will use a persecutor of the church to preach the blessed gospel, the Word, to those that are lost, what makes you think he won't use you? You see, that's how God works. Paul's reminding them the manner of men that they were. You see, he wanted them assured. Listen. There's a transformation in that man. He used to haul people off to prison that believed in Jesus. And now, in Jesus. Do you see where I'm coming from? Notice what he says. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. How many of you believe that when a person is truly born again, there's a change? Listen, before I met the Savior, and you can probably attest to this also, this was just any other book. Didn't mean anything to me. I mean, I believed it was the Word of God. Even as a lost person, I believed that there was a God. I was raised in the country, and you can just see nature itself reveals God and His glory. But it was just a book. It truly had no meaning until I got saved. And then there was a difference made in my life. People, I spooked a lot of people. Like, you remember the old John Richardson. And then when I got saved and the Lord made me new, a new creature, they could not believe. I mean, they would step back. They were scared of me. In fact, they'd see me coming, I'd see them turn, and because I had this in my hand, and I had a word for them. Yo, heathen, when you gonna come to Jesus? I had some friends that I loved. We grew up together. They were my running buddies when I was lost. And when I got saved, I wanted them to experience what I did. Know that all my sins were forgiven and that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I wanted to share that with them. And, oh, it's just a phase. You're just going through a phase. You'll be back here playing poker with us. You'll be drinking again in 6 months, guaranteed. Well, been going on 34 years. I guess it took. Amen. But they would see me, and I wanted to. The first time I shared the gospel, and I was as green as a gourd. Anybody know what a gourd is? Green as a gourd. And they wouldn't listen to me. They just ignored me. And I slammed the Bible down on the table. And I said, "You goofy old..." And I stopped because the flesh was fixing to come out. I said, "You heathens, you're going to hell. Do you understand? That's where you're headed if you don't repent and turn to Jesus." And they looked at me, "If you're going to preach at us, just go on home." I said, "But listen, I love you guys. And I don't want you to die and go to hell." And let me tell you a little secret about the Ursary brothers. Twins, Tim and Tom. Great friends. We played ball together. They were preacher's kids. Their dad was a preacher. And they were... I thought I was bad. They were preacher's boys. My prayers to this day, somebody, somewhere, somehow, got them. Because they weren't saved. And yes, brother, they came out of a Methodist church thinking baptism is part of being saved. I want to tell you, baptism has never or will it ever save anyone. It's the blood of Jesus that saves. It's the blood of Christ. Now notice, you became followers of us and of the Lord. And they did, because when you become a new creature in Christ, you can't help but change. And you will follow the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and say it ain't easy sometimes following the Lord. Understand, the church of Thessalonica came under a lot of persecution. And I'm here to tell you, as believers, you know as well as I do, sometimes it's hard as we follow the Lord to go through persecution. But listen to me, our persecution is not near what they had to face back then. But you know how they were able to do it and how they were able to overcome persecution? Look at the next part of the verse. Having received in word the word in much affliction, there's your key. There's your answer, the last part of that verse. With joy of the Holy Ghost. You know why they were able to endure? Because they had joy in their hearts. And people can't understand it. The world don't understand why we can have a smile on our face when we're being persecuted or we're going through affliction. They don't get it. How is it you can do that? It's because of the joy that only Christ can give us. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 8 with me for a second. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's how we're able to handle affliction. That's how they were able to handle the affliction and persecution back then. And again, they had it a whole lot worse than we do today. Amen? Joy. And my question to you is, do you have that joy? You see, the bottom line is this. Those believers that the Apostle Paul was commending there in Thessalonica were genuine. Can the same be said of us? Is our faith genuine? You see, the world, and especially young people, are looking for someone that's genuine. Someone that's not fake. There's a lot of fake out there. But are you genuine? You see, they were. That's why Paul was addressing this letter to them. You see, Paul was at Corinth. In Achaia. That was a chief city in Achaia. The Thessalonians there, Thessalonica, it was a chief city in Macedonia. And bottom line, what the Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians there in Achaia was this. Y'all need to be just like the Thessalonians. Because they were true examples. You see, they were the perfect model of how a church, how a believer was to be. Because they were genuine. And my question to us this morning, are we genuine? They were. Amen. Now, notice what it says. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, they were perfect examples. What about us this morning? As I read about the early church, I sure do fall short. Amen. You see, they have something that we don't. Not because God hasn't given it to us. God wants us to have it. He wants us to use it. What they had was truly faith. Not just this head knowledge. That's just like someone, Brother Dave, sent me the text last night about Hector being saved. You know, it's one thing to have head knowledge. But head knowledge does not save you. It's heart knowledge that saves you. And when you have that heart knowledge, you know. And that's truly faith. Because it's trust. It's believing what God says. Now, can I ask you a question? If God says He'll save you, forgive you, and give you eternal life, isn't that enough? Yeah. You can trust Him. But the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica, they had the real deal. Paul had labored and had preached the gospel. It wasn't just any gospel. You see, understand, there's lots of teachings out there. You can go to any library or go online and you can find all kinds of different teachings out there about heaven and how to get there. There's only one true way. And Jesus is that way. Amen? He's the way. This is the truth, which Jesus is the Word. And He's the life. But these humanistic teachings out there will not get anyone to God or to heaven. It's Christ and Him only. Amen? And that's why the Word is different than anything else out there, because it's powerful. Notice one other thing. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad. You see, these folks wasn't stuck on just right here around them. They were willing to spread the gospel everywhere and share the love of the Lord by giving to those that were in need. And the greatest need there is today is Christ. You know what would straighten up the problem we got in Washington? Christ. He would straighten it up if men would only turn to Him. Notice. So that we need not to speak anything. Why? Because through the blessed Holy Spirit, they were living out their faith. There was nothing for them to speak about. All Paul could do is brag on them. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing greater in a pastor's heart than for him to have the privilege of leading someone to the Lord. I didn't say saving someone. And any preacher that takes credit for saving someone, I would be backing off myself. No, Jesus saves. But any pastor that has the privilege of leading someone to the Savior, and then that person getting saved, following the Lord in scriptural baptism, and then serving faithfully in the church, that is the greatest feeling there is. Oh, I tell you, it kind of makes you think like Paul must have felt with Timothy. Because you see it. You don't question it. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, there's been several folks I've led to the Lord, and they say they made a profession of faith. Only God knows. I don't know their heart. But where are they? It makes me wonder. You say, Brother John, are you saying they're not saved? I can't say that, but I can't say they're saved either, because when you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, when I got saved, and it's not I, because the Lord saved me, but listen to me, when I got saved, I had a desire to come to church. In fact, you couldn't keep me away. Every time the doors were open. My kids growing up didn't have to, Dad, are we going to church? It's Wednesday night. Dad, are we going to church? It's Sunday morning. No, they knew. Because I was going to be there. She was going to be there. Not only that, they didn't have to wonder if I was going to pick this book up. Or if I was going to pray. They knew. Again, Thessalonians. Paul labored. He shared the gospel. And it was significant. Because look at the difference it made in the lives of those. And I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus will make a difference in your life. If you don't know Him, you need to know Him. Can I share with you? The gospel that we have is the greatest news the world will ever hear. The greatest news. It beats somebody winning, what is it, $600 million in the lottery or whatever. Did you see them crazy people standing out there? They must have had a line half a mile long waiting to get that ticket. What are you going to do, sir? They were interviewing. What are you going to do, sir, if you win it? I'm going to buy me a house. This one lady, at least her heart was in the right place. She goes, well, there's a lot of people that are having a hard time. I'll go to my church, and then I'm going to help people. And I thought, well, there's one out of that 1,000 people standing out there. One guy just says, if I won it, we're going to have a big party in Vegas. And I thought, oh, my Lord. I want to tell you something. Jesus is all you need. And if you come to the saving knowledge of Christ, sinner friend, what He gives you is worth more than all the treasure that this world holds. Amen. Real quick. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. You see, before Thessalonians come to know Jesus, they were pagans. They worshiped false gods. And before we point our fingers at them, there's lots of folks in the world today that are worshiping false gods. Some, it's their job. Some, it's leisure. Some, it's education. You just name it. And that's their God. But when the Word of God, the gospel was proclaimed, guess what? They turned from those pagan gods of the Gentiles to the true God. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, I love verse 10. Listen to Paul's instruction. And to wait for His Son from heaven, is that not what we're doing today? Whom He raised from the dead, that is assurance, because He's alive, we're going to live also. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, those of us that have been saved, the penalty for our sins has been paid in full with the blood of Jesus, according to His sacrifice on the cross. Understand, we don't have to fear the wrath of God. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. And I'm telling you, there's wrath coming one day. God's judgment will be poured out on every person that rejects His only begotten Son. What future, sinner friend, do you have? You have no future apart from being saved by the blood of Jesus. You're going to face the judgment of God, God's wrath. And the sad thing is, you don't have to. See, Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago so that you and I wouldn't have to face His wrath, His judgment. All you have to do is accept His gift of salvation. I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves you. I can't even begin. Can't even begin to tell you how much you're loved. But if you look at that cross over there, it shows how much you're loved. But I can't describe His love other than I feel it every day. Every time I open my eyes and He gives me another day, and I look out and I see the sun and the blue skies, see my wife, my kids, my brothers and sisters. That's just part of Him sharing His love for us. Sinner friend, the gospel is the most significant thing you'll ever believe. He loves you and He'll save you if you'll come. Good news. Good news. He that will come to me, I will in no wise cast away. That's a promise from the Lord. You say, but I'm pretty sinful. Done a lot of wicked things in my lifetime. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. In fact, Isaiah tells us that the best I'll ever do in my own eyes and in the eyes of men, that would be considered good. God says it's filthy rags, stench in His nostrils. Because we're not righteous. But listen, we're made righteous through Christ, in and through Him. So there's no excuse. He loves you, He wants to save you. I love the gospel. Oh, I can listen to the gospel. It never gets old. It's just like one of those old standard hymns that we sing. The old rugged cross. I can listen to that all the time. Amazing grace. Listen to it all the time. And when it comes to the preaching and the teaching of God's word, it don't get old. It's fresh every single time. So the gospel's significant. I pray everyone here has heard the gospel. And I pray everyone here has received Christ as your Savior. But if not, we're going to give you this opportunity. I'll ask you in close one more time. What you have, is it genuine? You see, the Thessalonians had the real deal. My question to you is, do you have the real deal? Are you genuine? Because if you are, people are going to see it and they're going to want it. Because they're constantly searching out there. Something to give them peace. Something to give them contentment. You know who I worry about? This younger generation. Pew Research. Less than 30% of millennials and what's the other one? X generation? Generation X? I think it's almost 30% think that the Bible and church are important. That should scare me and you. And that should also show me and you as a church, we got a lot of work to do and we only got a short time to get it done. We need this book. They can try to take it out of our hands, shut us up. But Jeremiah, I loved what he said. I got to preach. Fire in my belly and soul. Coming up. got to share it. Share the gospel, beloved.